Hello and welcome to the DLTV podcast. My name's Andrew Williamson.
And I'm Mel Cashin. This episode's part of a series that focuses on what's going on in digital learning and teaching across our schools. We've got some exciting podcasts planned for the rest of 2017, including talking to some of the authors of the articles in the DLTV journal, presenters that we had at the DigiCon conference recently, and finding out what's happening with some of our member schools. So, Andrew, this is our first episode back since DigiCon. How did you find the conference?
Oh, DigiCon was absolutely fantastic, Mel. I really enjoyed it. There's a real, I don't know how you felt about it, but it was a real buzz this year. And certainly it was great to see a lot of old faces had come back to the conference and caught up with a lot of friends. The standard of keynotes and sessions was just amazing. I learned so much. It was wonderful.
Yeah, no, I thought exactly the same thing. It was great to see some old friendly faces that that we know from around the traps, I guess, and also the amount of new faces that I saw and people that I hadn't met before that I got to know over those couple of days. So it was really fantastic.
Yeah, and certainly the trade show too, I thought this year was outstanding. The exhibitions that was going on there was brilliant. And kudos to John Pierce as well, who sat in the middle of all that with your students from Prinny Hill.
Yes,
working through.
Yes, we've had a great time talking with John and all of these little toys and tools that he had there. So they've come back to school with a big wish list.
Well, so have I. That's how good it was. There's plenty of toys there that I want to purchase for Belle. So it's great. Well, Mel, today we've got a great guest for the podcast. It's Anne Merchant, who was the recent ITSTI Make It or Make IT Happen Award recipient. Hello, Anne, and welcome to the DLTV podcast.
Hello, Andrew. Hello, Mel, and hello to all the listeners tuning into this podcast.
So, Anne, you work at a school that not everyone would have heard about. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Hawksdale Peter 12 College and where is it?
Many years ago, I married a farmer and we live just 8 kilometres south of Hawksdale. And that's between Warrnambool and Hamilton. So I usually say I teach near Warrnambool because most people know Warrnambool. So it's a very small rural school. It's prep, or now called foundation, I guess, through to year 12. We have about 220 students from age 5 to 18. So we're a very small rural school, but a great community network type school. We don't have any mobile phone service at our school, nor where I live. So that makes it very difficult at times with communication. But our students seem to find spots around the school on the windows where they can still get their messages through.
That's fantastic. I've got a great vision of your students being very resourceful there.
Yeah.
So many of our listeners would have actually heard you speak and or present over the years. I know that you've been to a lot of conferences and presented at DigiCon in the past. And you share your expertise and work on global connections. So do you just want to tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've done in being able to connect globally and I guess like the impact of that for your students being in that location that you are, how you've been able to use some of those global connections to really open up opportunities for your students?
So our school is very much geographically and culturally isolated. So we were very much a white Caucasian type school, although in recent years we've had the farmers selling out to the great big organisations or, you know, bigger farmers. And that means we're starting to get some of the visa immigrants coming into our area. So we actually got a family from Sri Lanka, Philippines, South Africa, etc. So we are broadening a little bit within our own school population. But I think because we are isolated rurally, it's very difficult, first of all, for us to go on excursions. Students don't really even go to libraries outside our school library. They rarely even go to Warrnambool because while they're at school, their parents are shopping. And it's so expensive, a lot of effort to get our students out from our school to experience some of the things that, you know, the city schools would take for granted. But I think because of that isolation, that sort of put a little bit more emphasis on us trying to give our students the same experiences that others would have. And I think because two of my children lived overseas, I saw the amazing things that you could do with technology to stay in touch, to connect, etc. So I started blogging, and through that I made a lot of connections. I joined a lot of global projects, etc. So the students quite regularly get involved in global projects, especially in my classes. I guess I didn't say I do teach. I still call it information and communications technology, but I think it's now the digital technologies. Is that right?
Yep. All the way.
Anyway, that's my subject area, although I do teach accounting and business management. So I have an opportunity to be able to connect the students. I usually use Skype because that suits the bandwidth for our rural area there. But that means we've been able to connect with people, as you say, across the world. And I think for my students, that's certainly opened up their eyes. They not only learn about places through their textbooks, but they now see and know the people who live there. They can interact with them, ask them questions on a personal level, and I'm sure it develops empathy in them. And, you know, a greater understanding of the world, the accents that people have, the way people look. And I'll never forget the first time we connected with Indonesia. The girls would have only been 12 years old, but they were all wearing, I don't know if I get the terminology right, but the hijabs. And that was a real eye-opener to the kids, so they'd never seen that before.
Yeah, it sounds like some really, really great opportunities. Have you got one particular sort of connection that you made that really sort of stays with you, or and what sort of things do you connect about? Like, what are the conversations that you're having when?
Okay, well, I'll answer the second one first. Just the conversations change all the time. A lot of the time, we leave it up to the students. So, if it's a direct connection, it's usually with Asia. So sometimes we bring objects to the camera to share and show what Australia's about and like. And then often the students go off and ask questions just, you know, on the spur of the moment and on the fly. So they might just ask, you know, what sort of pets do they have? What does it look like where they live, etc. But one of my most memorable connections is with a teacher in Germany. Now, unfortunately, we're not in the same time zone. So no matter what we do, we have to be work out how we connect without doing it sort of asynchronously. But he asked me if I could share a photo of a lunchbox from our students because his Year 7 science students were studying healthy foods. So it was it just happened to be on lunchtime. So I quickly asked two girls to get their lunchboxes, emailed him the photo. And he was very grateful and he just wanted to know more about where the school was. I sent him the link to our school blog, which happened to have a vegetable garden post on it. And he wanted to know more about that and would I teach his students about our vegetable garden, how we use some of the produce in our canteen. So at night time, my time, 7 o'clock at night, which would have been about 10 a.m. their time, I was sharing, at this time with Google Hangouts, about our school, you know, show them photos of the garden, how the canteen uses, etc. The students then went and my students created a podcast on water in rural areas for the German students' radio station. And it eventually led to the teacher over there saying their canteen manager wanted to have an Australian food day.
Oh.
So I said something to my canteen manager. She said she would love to do a German food day. So after school, we decided to connect together over Skype, but we can't speak German and their canteen manager couldn't speak English. So we were actually talking to each other while the Year 7 English class in Germany were in their classroom. We had an interpreter for both ways so that we all understood what we were doing. They showed us their bread rolls. We showed them ours. We showed them the dishes that were popular with our students. So the two managers decided which dishes they would share on that day. Those Year 7 English, who were really German students, actually had to interpret the recipe. So we couldn't use abbreviations because the interpretation would be lost. So we finally got the emails through on the recipes. We went ahead with that canteen day and our food sold out within 15 minutes. It was a great success.
What a wonderful story.
Yeah, and it just shows what can be done even if you don't speak the same language.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's just a wonderful way of using, you know, the technology to really make those connections. And I'm sure the Year 7 English class, were they interpreting it themselves as well?
So the actual students in the class had to interpret the recipe. So that was a really their class, not mine, because we don't speak German. So, yes, they were responsible for doing that. I think their teacher may have just double-checked to make sure that it was, you know, correct. But anyway, it all worked. Our food looked good, sounded good. They actually decorated their school with all sorts of Australiana flags and all bits and pieces. Unfortunately, I wasn't at school that day. I was at an excursion, so I didn't actually get to see the excitement, etc. But we've continued on. So often I'll link up with his classes at night time. They'll present to me. They'll record it so I can share some of the videos with my students, etc.
Fantastic. Now, does Hawksdale have a language?
Yes. Our language is actually Mandarin Chinese. But because China is so difficult to be able to connect to a school that's willing to give up some of their time to just share conversations with our students, the students will sometimes work with teachers in Taiwan and classes there because a lot of they speak Chinese too. We connect with classes in Malaysia, Chinese schools over there, and then they can sort of try and share conversations in Mandarin. But our students probably don't speak it that well, get very nervous, etc. But our older students have been able to actually practice it in real time with native speakers in, you know, like Taiwan and Malaysia.
Yeah, fantastic. So your connections with was it Indonesia or just as well, did you say, or was it just Asian countries in general?
Oh, no, once you make a connection, you just seem to find that always there for you, even though you may not communicate for, you know, several months or a year. When you need each other, we're there for each other and we will work together and connect again. So, you know, when it's like International Friendship Day, that's a day when we'll often link up with some other classes. It was India Independence Day on Tuesday. So we had a link up with India last week to talk about or learn a little bit about what they do on their Independence Day.
So how do you find these people to connect with?
I often get asked that question and sometimes it's just you've got this network established and you forget how you started. I joined an online site called Classroom 2.0. I met a lot of teachers there who I still connect and communicate with, and that's Steve Hagenden from America. I met on Twitter a lot of my connections. Skype in the classroom gives me a lot. Just Google, you know, groups, Google Plus groups that I'm a member of. Facebook brings up people now too. And once you start, you seem to just expand and people start to find you too. They're actively looking to connect, and even more so now since when I first started.
Well, brilliant. So, well, I mean, no wonder with all, making all those connections and the great use of technology and supporting the learning of your rural students, and that you were the recipient of the Making It IT Happen Award, which is an international award for the outstanding service to IT education. You were lucky enough to be at the ISTE conference in San Antonio, and I know our listeners who couldn't be there would love to hear about the conference and what the takeaways were for you.
Okay, so if people aren't quite sure what ISTE is, it's the International Society for Technology in Education. Their annual conferences are always held in America and they are just huge. So I think there were more than 20,000 people involved in it this year in San Antonio. It goes over 3.5 days, so it officially starts Sunday late afternoon with the keynote and it finishes Wednesday afternoon. But it's almost expanding now each year. So on the Saturday, there's this fantastic day called Hack Ed. So educators who can gather together, topics are put up for discussion. They're voted on which topics people want to continue with through the day. people then choose which topic they're going to go and discuss for 1 hour of that day. And it's quite organic. So it's just everyone sharing their experiences, their knowledge, their questions, experiences, etc. So I went to the topic's called Games in Learning, which is still very topical. I went to one on Maker Spaces, and I just love technology tools. So I'm always willing to go to those to see which tools people are still using, the new ones that they're using, etc. So one of my takeaways from that was Flip Video. So I don't know if you've used it, Andrew or Mel.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
No, it's very, very popular with a lot of those teachers who are out there innovating. So it's like instead of having text connections, it's completely video. So you'll throw up a topic, create this grid, and then share that link with either your class or connected classes. And the students just go up and talk their reflections or talk about the topic, etc. And then the next student will come in and share with that. So as long as that link's shared, it doesn't matter where you are, you can actually go in and interact. So that way you can ask questions, interact, continue conversation. So it's just flip video. Another new tool I learned about was Buncee, which is a presentation type tool. But back to the major takeaways, the main themes or popular topics still seem to be maker spaces, robotics, drones featured quite a bit this year, AR and VR were still topics there that were fairly well presented on.
And so I guess the same things that we really are topical here.
Absolutely. And connected learning was another one. But what I think I like about ISTE is because it's so huge, and sometimes that can be overpowering, but once you've actually been there, because there's so many people there, so many sessions to choose from, so we start, some of the sessions start at 8 o'clock in the morning, even 7:30. It just means that, you know, if you've got a very special interest or a passion, you can actually go in there and follow your theme quite easily and readily. And some of like the keynote speakers that are brought out to Australia are just simply the people out on the floor there that you can talk to, presenting just normal sessions like everyone else. They also, I found that the some of the most popular sessions now are their Ignite, you know, where there's just very short, sharp, snappy type presentations. And they've expanded that on to some that last, you know, more like 15 minutes or 20 minutes. But it's great. You can go in then. If one speaker's not to your liking or interest, the next one probably is. They also have what's called playgrounds. So these are set up by these professional learning network groups within ISTE. But that means you can get your hands-on. So the robotics playgrounds there for people to actually go talk to the people and you know, get hands-on experience with it. So the ISTE Global Collaboration PLN that I'm a leader of, we had a playground there. And the other one that's really popular are the poster sessions. So these are just poster sessions that are based on a theme. Again, teachers are at the table. You can go up and talk to them, see examples of student work and learning, ask the questions, etc. And there's always so much social networking opportunity. And I think for me, my biggest takeaway is that network, meeting more people, keeping the people and colleagues that I've got, sharing and then continuing the conversations afterwards.
Yeah. And you can see like the thread there is really those connections that you're making through all of those things. And I know like for the three of us, we've all been connected through our network. So we certainly know how powerful it is. So tell us about the award. How did that all come about?
Well, I was invited to a very special dinner. It was the ISTE dinner. I thought, wow, that sounds good. And it was at one of the big hotels near the conference centre. And unfortunately, my poster session that I was organising got changed to lunchtime, and it now clashed with this dinner. And I didn't know at the time I had a minder who was Tina Vitakis from South Australian Computer Society or Educator Society, I'm not sure what they call themselves. And she was rather aghast that I may not turn up to the dinner. She said, Anne, great food. You get to meet more people, you know, beautiful venue. I thought, oh, okay. So I made sure there were some other people that kept that poster session going. And to my great surprise, there were 6 of these awards given, and my name actually got called out. So it was a very, very proud moment. And I still really can't believe that that award is mine.
Well, we certainly can. I know over the last number of years that we've seen the work that you've been doing, I know you're an inspiration to many people out there. And if we could just add up the amount of teachers and the students that you've been able to inspire or support or give ideas to over the years, I think they would certainly add up very quickly. So I can certainly see you getting that award, and congratulations, certainly on behalf of DLTV and Andrew and I on receiving such a prestigious award. So well done.
Thank you. And I think it's also an award for the network, isn't it, really? Because it's a network that's helped me get where I've been able to do and be able to achieve what I can do. And, you know, that's the beauty of now technology allowing us to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can certainly second all that. I think my very first ever conference was an ICTEV conference, and I remember specifically sitting next to a teacher who was from Hawksdale Peter Twine College, and she was typing her notes from the session directly into Global 2, or was called Global Teacher then. And I turned around and I said, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm using a blogging tool. And I think you were sitting on the other side of me. And you then said, hi, and yes, we've been using this, and we've got this tool, and all our students are using it. And I went, oh, my goodness, what is this? And I think the rest is history, and I think pretty much that's how I met Mel as well.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thanks very much, Anne, for coming in and spending some time with us and being able to share some of the different ways that you're connecting your students and sharing, of course, what it was like at ISTE. It was great to catch up.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Anne. Thanks for coming along. It's been fantastic.
Now, Andrew, we've got a few events coming up at DLTV soon that we should let people know about.
Yes, we should.
The 22nd of August, we've got Everybody Dance NAO, which is a free animation and coding session. And there is a competition around the NAO humanoid robot at the moment, if you're interested in that. On the 24th of August, there'll be an online webinar around the introduction to the digital technologies curriculum from F to 10. And then on the 25th of August, we've got John Pierce in the DLTV office, where he'll be looking at coding, makerspaces, and the digital technologies curriculum. And I do know that he'll have all of his toys with him, so it's a perfect opportunity to go and have a look at what's around. So yeah, a few events coming up in the next few weeks.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah, and I'd highly recommend getting along to those sessions, and especially if you're thinking of purchasing some toys for your school, for some devices to support your digital technologies learning, get along to that session with John Pierce, because it is quite amazing.
Right. Well, as always, thanks, Andrew, and thanks again to Anne for joining us tonight. It's been a wonderful podcast.
And Mel, can I interrupt? Sorry, the tool was Flipgrid. And I think I might have said Flipgrid. So Flipgrid is that great tool that everyone was talking about.
Fantastic. And we'll put the links to that in the show notes so that people can access that. So thanks, Anne.
Yeah, we certainly will. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Bye.